This morning, if you prayed the prayer with Colin, and now King Jesus is your Lord and Savior, we don't want you to walk this alone. We are here to walk with you. And if you made that decision to make Christ your Lord and Savior this morning, I want to ask you to please stop by the Connection Center after the service. We have a special bag for you that has material in it to help you with your new walk. It also has information in there so that you can make connection with us, and we want to make connection with you because we want to walk this with you. So if this is the decision you made today, again, I encourage you to go by the Connection Center and grab that bag. Let the people back there know that you've made that decision so that we can be in agreement with you and walking with you in what you're believing God to do in your life now that you've made that decision. Amen? All right, we're getting ready to start our 14 days of prayer and fasting. Starts next Thursday, I believe is the right 20th. 20th is when it's going to start. And we have made it very clear in part one what the promises of God are to North Elevation Church. We also made it very clear that some of those promises that were within those promises to us as a church were promises to you as individuals. So there's a lot of churches praying different times of this first part of the year, and they're doing it for different reasons. Here at North Elevation Church, we're going to pray, we're going to believe, and we're going to pray that we are going to receive the promises of God. And so we are going to fast and pray during that 14 days, and you just fast as the Lord leads you. And if you need information on fasting, I had several last week said, what's a Daniel fast? Got that information to them. What's a full fast? How do I prepare for a fast? We can help you with all of that. But in these 14 days, we are going to believe God for the promises. And if you were not here for part one, then you can go to YouTube, you can go to Facebook and watch the service, or you can go online and listen to the audio. But in that message that Pastor Rochelle and I brought was an account of the promises that God has made us. And I brought up some last week. I'm not going to go back and rehearse that. So your challenge is, if you don't know what they are, you get to go watch the service or go listen to it so that you'll know what you're going to fast and pray about. But you know what? Personally, you have promises God's made you, and you know exactly what those are. And this is a season for you to fast and pray and believe and not doubt. God said, I'm speeding up time. I'm going to do some stuff here. Remember? What took a year? Won't take a year. Take months. What took weeks will take days. God is speeding up things. That's what He's promised us. So in this 14 days, it's time to press in and believe God. Amen? It's important. Now, as we journey into part three of Unshaken, we are unpacking truths in this series that we believe are as important as the series I did prior to COVID breaking out, which was called Transition. So it's important that everyone have an ear to hear in this series. And we are presenting truths to you that will help you not to be shaken in a world that's being shaken. And we are going to believe God with eyes of faith, words of faith, and we are going to see the greatness, the goodness, and the faithfulness of our God to manifest the promises that He has made us, and they become our reality. That's what we're going to do. We're going to believe. That's why we're saying, pray, believe, pray. Now, as we step into this, I'm going to go back to the 80s. When our son Daniel was just a few months old, I would rush home from work so that I could spend time with Daniel and the girls while Rochelle cooked. Then we would sit down as a family and have dinner together while Daniel, we hopefully slept while we were eating. He's just a few months old. And then I would load up my briefcase and leave the house and make a 45 to 1 hour drive, depending on the traffic, to Bible school 4 days a week, 4 nights a week. Inside my car, I had a cassette album. Anybody remember cassette albums? I had a cassette album, and the title on that cassette album was Saul of Tarsus. It was a 13 cassette tape series, an hour and a half long each one. Anybody withstand an hour and a half message these days? That's the way they were. And they were about the Apostle Paul. It was about the history of his life and ministry. That set me on a course, because I'd listened to him all the way to school, all the way back from school, four nights a week, until I literally just wore most of them out. But it set me on a journey that has not ended. I desire as much today, probably more, than I did then. I want to be like Apostle Paul. It's been a driving desire my whole Christian walk to be like the Apostle Paul. Now, I'm going to build a platform this morning that we're going to launch off into something of great importance. In part one, we unpacked the promises of God. Part two, I talked to you about the importance of staying focused on Jesus. Get out of the boat, get into the water, and have the courage and be brave to trust God for the promises. Now, I'm going to go back in history even further. We're going to go back to around about 57 AD. Paul is going to stand trial in front of Felix for what? Preaching the gospel. He stands before Felix, but Felix decides not to do anything with Paul and leaves him in prison for two more years. Felix leaves, Festus comes. Now Paul is standing in front of Festus around the year 59 AD and having to defend his case again for sharing the gospel. Festus decides not to do anything either. Leaves him in prison. Then King Agrippa II comes for a visit. So Festus says, King Agrippa, I want you to listen to Paul's case. So now Paul is standing in front of King Agrippa around 60 AD. Now, I want us to have a clear picture of who King Agrippa II was by going back to some of his relatives. His great-grandfather, Herod the Great, was the one who tried to kill baby Jesus. His father, King Herod the First, had James put to death by a sword and put Peter in prison for the purpose of executing Peter. Do we have a clear picture of who he's standing in front of? Now let's back up. Felix could have had him put to death. Festus could have had him put to death. And this king has a history of putting people to death in his lineage. So Paul, this simple missionary, is standing before a king who has relatives who tried to kill Jesus, did kill James, and imprisoned Peter. Paul, this simple missionary, had every reason to fear this king. But this is a truth. Paul did not fear the king. Nor did Paul fear death. This is very important that I say it again. Paul did not fear the king, and he didn't fear death. He didn't dishonor the king, but he didn't fear him. He spoke to him like he should, but he didn't fear him. And he didn't fear death. Now, I want us to step back, and we're going to go into Corinthians, and I want us to look at some things that Paul said about his life. The first portion I'm going to share with you is one of my favorite. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 says, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Paul wasn't denying that it was a hard life that he was having to face most of the time, but he declared, we are not crushed. I will not quit. You need to listen to what he's saying. You study it out. Yes, we're facing trials, but we're not crushed, so we ain't quitting. We ain't dead yet. We're not dead yet. Not quitting. Perplexed. Anybody, were you perplexed this past week? Oh, yeah. But not driven to despair. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to be driven to despair. I refuse. I'm not quitting. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Because I'm being persecuted does not mean my God, who loves me, has left me. Amen. Come on. Just because you're going through things, we go through things, we all go through things, doesn't mean that God said, well, you know what, you're so bad, I'm just checking out. No, he is with you in the middle of it all. He will never leave you or forsake you. Struck down, but not destroyed. I love that. Life may be beating me down, but I'm not dead yet. I ain't quitting. I refuse to stop. I refuse. You know what I learned about Paul? Paul probably, he learned a lot of grace. If you check Paul 1, he's a super prideful guy. He's the greatest of all the apostles, and then later on, he's the lowest of the apostles. He learned. But I think if we were around Paul, he couldn't handle a lot of whining. Let me tell you why. 2 Corinthians 11:24. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. Could we have handled 1 time? 5 times. Guess what? He didn't quit. He didn't quit. Verse 25. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. And he didn't quit. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. And he didn't quit. Verse 26, on frequent journeys in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers at sea, dangers from false brothers. Man, he had danger all around him. And he did not quit. Verse 27, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And Paul did not quit. When Paul stood before King Agrippa II, he made his case. King Agrippa, right there on the spot. You got to understand this situation. King Agrippa could have raised his scepter and they would have slayed him where he stood. And Paul still preached the gospel to the king who could have him killed. Come on. He preached the gospel. I want to share several pen truths with you today. The things that I have learned, revelations I've gotten. There's going to be many. More than normal. Pen truth. Paul had an enduring perseverance because he believed that God was faithful no matter what he faced. Pray, believe, pray that no matter what's going on in your life, you will see the manifestation of the promises that God has made you, and it will become your reality. But as we learned last week, you can't get your eyes on the wind and the waves because you will start sinking. We got to stay focused on Jesus. Now I'm going to ask you to do something right here in the middle of my message. Well, kind of the first part of it. I'm going to ask everyone to stand, please. Even our guests that are with us, if you're a guest. Have somebody say, Pastor, well, all of a sudden, have you been asking us to stand when you read the scriptures? We're fixing to hit the key verse for us, the foundational verse for this message today. And here's my answer to that question. I am tired of all the disreverence that I'm seeing towards the Word of God. There's not enough reverence for the Word of God. So here at NEC, we are going to periodically, as the Lord leads me, we're going to stand and honor the Word of God. Because in the old days, they would stand at the reading of the Word to do what? To honor the Word of God. And to honor God Himself. So as you stand, this won't be on the screen. So you're going to have ears to hear. Remember, you know, I can just see when Jesus got up to read, I can just see all of us, where's the screen? There's no handouts. They had to listen. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And listen carefully, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. God has said He's speeding up time. What used to take a week will take days. What used to take a year will take a month. But you're still going to have to persevere and not quit. Still have to persevere. Father, we come to You in Jesus' name this morning. And Lord, I ask for open eyes, ears, and hearts to receive what You've given me today. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to share with you, this sermon is going to flip to a very basic and simple message. Very basic, very simple. I'm going to share with you three of hundreds of things I've learned in studying the life of Paul. To this day, I still study. Last night, I was still studying some things that Paul said. I'm still trying to understand. Anybody with me? I'm still trying to get revelation on some things. I'm thinking, you just must have had a bad night's sleep. I mean, why'd you say that? Still learning. We will forever learn until we go home. And if you're not learning, you need to get to learning. I'm going to share with you just three of some things that I have learned, life lessons that I have learned from Paul concerning perseverance. And here's number one, settle the question. Settle the question. Paul settled the question. And if you study, he was trying to get everybody, settle the question. And some struggled. What was it they needed to settle? He wanted them to settle this in their heart. Are you going to be unshaken or are you going to be shaken? Are you going to continue or are you going to quit? We got to settle the question. Are you with me? We got to settle it in our heart and our mind. We got to settle the question. Am I always going to be shaken? Or am I going to learn to be unshaken in the middle of the shaking? Am I going to quit because it's getting hard and give up? Or am I going to continue even when it's hard? We got to settle the question. Got to settle the question. Penn Truth. To settle the question means that we refuse to doubt and we don't say if in trusting God. If God does this, if God does that, if this happened, if that happens, if. That's not trust. That's not trust. That's us trying to control, saying, well, you didn't do that, God, so you can't be trusted. Because we laid out what He was going to have to do, right? Come on. Who knows better than we do? He does. I know what I want because I know what feels easier. But He knows what I need. Okay? I'm going to make a declaration this morning. I declare that we will not be shaken. I declare that we will not quit. I declare that we get if out of our vocabulary when it comes to what God has promised us. We make that shift. Go back to my message in 2020. We got to transition that out of our language. If. Number two, perseverance doesn't happen in the if. If becomes the excuse not to persevere. Come on. Perseverance doesn't happen in the if. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Remember, we're talking about Paul, studying Paul, things Paul said. I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet. But one thing I do, it is my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Pressing forward, not quitting. Verse 14, I press on toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward to. God is calling us to contend for the promises. Now, what's important here, when he's penning this, he is not saying that I have forgotten my past. No, he remembers, you remember, but he is saying, I am not going to let that ever keep me from where I'm going. And I refuse to constantly fall back into the old ways that keep me from persevering through to my victory. We've got to stop falling back into the old ways. We've got to make a what? A decision. It's not that I have forgotten all the stupid, dumb, crazy stuff that I did. Evil stuff. Dumb stuff. But I'm not going back there. And I'm not going to let old habits from the past dictate my future. It ends. Yes, I'm forgetting those things because that's not how I'm going to live, and I refuse to continue to fall into the same old, and live in the same old. Anybody with me? I'm going to put that to an end, and I'm going to move and go after it. I'm going to have to what? Persevere. Pen truth. Settling the question means there is no turning back. Not even for an afternoon. Or because things aren't going right and we say, well, I'm just going to go over here and have my pity party back in the way I used to do them. That's dangerous because what happens is you get comfortable in it and you start drawing away and what's coming out of your mouth is not faith. You start believing what you see and what you feel and what you hear instead of seeing what is unseen and believing that's going to become my reality. It's leaving the old ways behind completely. Let's just be honest. Our brain won't forget it all. But you can leave it all. I mean, I'm reaching that place where, you know, I'll hear the kids talk about stuff and I'll go, was I alive when that happened? I don't remember that. Really, all that happened? What it means is this truth. Failure to do so, to leave stuff behind, means you won't have the energy or the strength or the faith to persevere to your promise. Just a truth. Number three. Oh, here it comes. I told you it's basic and simple. To persevere, you need to start studying the Bible. You need to study the Bible. Well, that's your job, Pastor. No, that's all of our jobs. That's all of our jobs. To read the Bible, to study the Bible. And unfortunately, I was so excited this morning about the message, I walked out of the office and I got two Bibles in there and forgot to bring one out. The Bible, as I said last week, until I have no breath in me, you need to make the Bible your number one read. Because in the Bible is what you need to be able to persevere. Here's some truth. Paul studied faithfully what he had in front of him, which was the Old Testament. But I have studied his life, and you pay attention to the things that he says throughout all the books and the scriptures, and you realize that he faithfully studied everything he learned and heard that Jesus said. How did he persevere through all of the stuff I read earlier in his life? Because he was a man who faithfully studied and read the Word of God. If we're going to persevere to our promise in our entertainment-consumed world, gamer-consumed world, sport-consumed world, somewhere we got to make some choices and read and study the Bible. What Paul did invites this question. And I'm not pointing fingers at anybody because I don't know. Unless you've joined me in some stuff on YouVersion. When was the last time that you read the Bible all the way through in 1 year? Have you even done it at least once? Reading the Bible through in a year is amazing. As you're reading, you're going to, I call it stumble upon some stuff and find yourself studying Scripture. Now, I'm not here to pat myself on the back. I'm not going to challenge you to do the same thing if I'm not doing it. Last year, I read the Bible through in 8 months. I'm on track to do that again this year. Rochelle and I have been reading the Bible through every year for years. Does it get boring? Not really. I'm constantly learning. And it causes me to study even more. There is plenty of apps out there and books in the Bible store to make this easy. Listen, I get it. We're all busy. But we ain't that busy. We're not that busy. The Bible is life itself. It's the words of life from your Father. And we should be reading it. The Bible is life, and the Bible will help us contend for the promises. We have got to stop leaning on others to do what we should be doing. Not expecting someone else to plow that field, and then you go tell them, well, I'm believing for this promise. So since you're so much spiritual, you just go carry the load. Nothing wrong with getting somebody in agreement with you, okay? You with me? But we all should be plowing through the Word of God, learning and growing. This is real basic. It's real basic, but it's very convicting to all of us. Well, I guess you've gotten there, Pat. Oh, no. No. It just drives me to do even more because I need to learn more. Our world is changing so rapidly, I need more. Are you with me? We need more from God's Word, more revelation, more understanding. These life words in the Bible will give you the strength to persevere to your promise. We falter, as some of the great writers of the Bible have said. We falter just as we're about to get there because we haven't made some things number one yet. And the Word of God needs to be number one. You don't have to be a theologian. Matter of fact, some of the theologians are so wrapped up in being a theologian, they've forgotten basic faith. I meet with them, I know. I'm like, let's go back to Genesis. God wants to unpack simple truths to you that will revolutionize your life. Just read through the Bible. It'll make a huge difference. I had one person tell me, well, I read through it once. I said, so you hung that on the wall and sat down, huh? What do you do for nourishment to fight all this stuff? Guess where it's coming from? It comes from the Word of God. And I didn't say that to put anybody down. I said that to challenge you. Start tomorrow. Hey, start this afternoon. Cowboy game don't come on until 3:30. There's time between lunch and cowboy game. You can get in the first day's reading in a one-year Bible. Okay. Now you got to go home with that in your mind. He said, I got time to do this. So anyway, pen truth. Reading and studying the Bible faithfully each day equips us for what we encounter in everyday life. When I do what I do morning, evening. I can go to bed with something on my mind, but when I do it in the mornings, I go through my day, I'm meditating throughout the day on what I have read. And it becomes amazing how I end up getting to apply some of that. I'm telling you, the Word of God is life for your everyday life. We need to be in it. Well, I don't understand everything. You don't have to understand. The Holy Spirit will give you revelation of what you need to understand. Trust Him. Trust Him. 4, prayer perseverance, as I call it, that I've learned from Paul. We have the story in Scripture with a lady that comes to the unjust judge. Again, we need to get a clear picture of this reality. She doesn't come once, she doesn't come twice. She comes until she wears him out, wanting justice. Would you call that perseverance? Well, let me just take it to a whole new level. In that time, in our world, with that king, now this is being talked about on a level people can understand. The first time, she harassed the king, she could have been killed. The second time, most definitely. Third time, probably. Is anybody with me? She's persevering in the face of danger to get what she's after. I hope that sinks in. She is persevering in the face of death. And she does not quit. Now, let's read, pick up the story in the back portion of verse 4, Luke 18. Though I neither fear God, this is the unjust judge, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because the widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down. Who's starting to win now? He's afraid of her. He don't fear God. He don't fear man, but he fears this woman. She must have been a grandma. Will not beat me down by her continual coming. Verse 6, and the Lord said, hear what the righteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? God has already promised us he's shortening everything, but you're still going to have to persevere day and night and believe. You're going to have to believe. Pen truth here. Persistent prayer keeps asking, keeps coming, despite possible prolonged difficulty. Some of us have conditioned ourselves that it's months before it becomes difficult to us. And there's some things, all of us, there's some things, I mean, an hour of something and we're done. We've got to persevere and contend for the promises. Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be open. Here's the question. Do you believe that? Well, if God would do, no. Do you believe that? Well, if tomorrow morning, no. Do you believe that? If I keep asking, I keep coming, I keep knocking. Jesus looks at one of the angels and goes, give it to him. Do we believe the Word of God? In studying Scripture, I've learned that Paul persevered in his prayers. If you read his prayers, he's persevering. If you read the stories, you catch all the prayers and you see what he's doing. And he's bringing up things again. He's persevering in prayer. Paul's persevering in prayer. And Paul never gave in and he never gave up. He contended for the promises that he believed God had given him. And there was times I'm sure he would wake up and go, wow. I thought you said God. And I can just hear the Holy Spirit going, Paul, I know these chains are rubbing your wrist raw, but God's going to do what he told you. Persevere. God is faithful. Persevere. In studying the Scriptures, and you'll find some arguments between theologians on this, but there's, I've counted, personally, 42 prayers in the New Testament from Paul. And it would do all of us good if we go find those prayers and read them, because I promise you, you're going to find many that fit your situation. And listen to the wisdom of Paul in his prayers, believing God. Well, can you give me a list of all those? No. You're going to have to go find them. That's your challenge. Would you say that prayer was important to Paul? Would you say prayer was important to God, that he made sure all those prayers were in the Scriptures? Because they're persevering prayers. You can't quit. You can't give up. I have a lot of favorite sayings from some of the, what I call the great men and women of God in the times past, especially in the 1800s, 1700s, 1600s. And I have some top 10 lists, but this is my number one. I've been waiting a long time to share this. This is number one. This is from Charles Spurgeon. He said, by perseverance, the snail reached the ark. If that don't bring conviction, I don't know what will. Can you imagine what the snail went through to get to the ark? What is this stuff I'm crawling on? It hurts. And Johann Wolfgang commented, he said, I love this too, in the realm of ideas, everything depends on enthusiasm. In the real world, it all rests on perseverance. You know where the rubber meets the road? Perseverance. Not quitting, not giving up. Deciding I'm not going to be shaken. What that means is you're not going to give in to the shaking. Things may be shaking, but you're not going to let yourself get caught up in it and lose your focus. You're going to keep your eyes on Jesus. I'm going to ask everyone to stand again as I read my final statement this morning. This is a series in which we are standing and making our declarations as we did the past two Sundays. I've penned my final statement, and it's this: perseverance is a choice. We will continue or quit. You can say it this way: will we continue or quit? Will we be unshaken or shaken? Now meditate on this truth. It is about God and how God works through you and me, helping us persevere in conveying our faith, persevering in challenging times. Remember what all Jesus has done for us. Get a clear picture of the cross. Get a clear picture of what Jesus went through with the cat of nine tails. We need to have that picture clear in our minds. And persevere in contending for the promises God has made to us and believing He is faithful. Father, as we stand today, we make our declaration that we are determining that we will not quit, but we will persevere. And we will believe You. You said it, we believe it. God, right now, in the name of Jesus, there is so many things going on in everybody's lives. It's just a reality. Father God, I'm praying right now, petitioning You, that there come a settling right now in the name of Jesus. A settling of calm and peace. And an arising of faith to step out of the boat and look at You and come to where You're at and see the fulfillment of the promises. I decree that, I declare it now in Jesus' name.